This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
All right. So the Grizzlies are into the offseason and have made at least one move. We shall see if more moves are on the way. But they have a little bit of a war chest now. They've got four picks as part of this deal, some pick swaps, got an expiring contract in Cole Anthony that they could trade for up to $20.6 million. And so there are a couple of things. They could obviously use this 16th pick in the 2025 NBA draft, which I am a staunch opponent of, or they could package it up and use it as part of a trade. Now, you got to get another team that could do that, obviously, but it feels like there are going to be enough sellers out there for the Grizzlies to be able to do that. Now, how good that player is, you know, that's going to be the question. Right, Kevin Durant feels like he's totally off the table. Chris Harrington writes of a Daily Memphian, you know, in terms of the, you know, not grand slams, but you know, nice hits. Derek White, is the 6'4" guard there from the Celtics. You know, the Celtics have a lot of money that they're going to have to pay over the next couple of years. They've been mentioned as a team that might sell a little bit. You know, he brings up Caldwell Pope for Derek White as a salary match that would allow Boston to immediately shave a big chunk off of their luxury tax bill. So, you know, that's an interesting look. We talked about him yesterday, Jason. They would not play together. It would be a KCP out, Derek White in. You know, that's an upgrade, but it also doesn't address the three. It doesn't address that spot. He brings up Trey Murphy, who's making $25 million in New Orleans. But as he writes, there's never been any indication that the Pelicans are going to make him available. I think if the Grizzlies could have him, they would like to have him. He writes, what could Cole Anthony and a pick or two get you? He mentions PJ Washington. We've talked about him. You know, Cooper Flagg inbound, you know, seems like PJ Washington could be expendable. Daniel Gafford, they need a big. Jack Eady's going to be hurt for a while. We don't know how long that's going to take. So that's one look. Herb Jones for New Orleans, who's making $14 million. Again, you got Trey Murphy. Do you really need Herb Jones? That would make a lot of sense for the Grizzlies. He's a great defensive player. You know, can knock down an open shot. You'd like to think I would be in favor of that. Keegan Murray, who I didn't know that Keegan Murray for the Kings would be a guy they'd try to be moving off of. But who knows with what they're doing there in Sacramento. And then Portland's Denny Avia there. We talked about him as well. Big, young. You know, Keegan Murray and Avia kind of are the same deal. So I would be in favor of all of those things. Then you kind of get into like the Josh Hart, Moses Moody's, Strus, Herder, who I'm less compelled by. Cam Johnson's been a guy that the Grizzlies feel like have been trying to acquire for, you know, a decade now. Mm-hmm. So I'll kind of believe it when I see it. But I would be disappointed to go back to the initial point. You know, if they end up using this pick, especially on the player that they are currently projected to draft, according to ESPN, in Jace Richardson, who's an undersized two guard. I mean, that's what he is. Like, he's not a point guard. He's a two guard. He's undersized. You already have Scottie Pippen. Like, what are we doing here with that? That would make absolutely no sense. So I would like to believe there's another leg to this. right now. That's what I'm telling myself. That there's another leg to this. Because if there's not, I got to be honest, man. I'm not seeing the vision as clearly as I was when it all went down.
I was listening to Harrington on Jeff this morning, almost frustrated with the thought of, by the thought of people like you and me saying they shouldn't use the pick. Of course, don't use the pick. Trade the pick. Whatever you're going to put it with, Cole Anthony, whatever else.
Right.
His point was you always want more talent, more talent, more talent, and that he wouldn't be, I don't know if you put it at 50-50 that they take one, but he did have a point that right now you've got two ways open. I think that's the case, two of your three. And so whether it's with that pick or the two in the second round, filling those two ways with actual picks that won't make the actual roster is something that could probably happen. That said, I still and I think there's some logic to what he's saying. That said, I'm still right where I was before I listened to him this morning. At this point, no one vet isn't going to get this thing turned around to where you're in a Western Conference Finals or in a Finals. But you have to, after 2-3 straight years, seemingly of getting younger and younger and younger, you have to go older. I would say do it in multiple ways. Don't just do it, you know, one player, Marcus Smart, and say, hey, we've done it. We've gotten older. You've got to look to address this all the way around the board and whatever that looks like. And so, I mean, that list you went there, it feels like we touched on everybody in the league.
Yep.
I've got favorites. You've got favorites. We've both said, I do think, you know, P.J. Washington, I just think has a – there's a fit there, but I'm not going to sit up here and act like there aren't a bunch of fits in that group of guys that you named there. And so eager to see what you do, but I'm in agreeance with you. You don't take Jace Richardson, number 16, and put him in your rotation or say, even at the back of it, whatever it is,
this is the way we want to go.
That's you know, more development of guys, less winning now,
right.
More getting younger.
That's right.
That just doesn't seem like the direction the franchise gets to go. Of course you need to add more talent.
Yes.
You can do that through free agency, through trades, and other things, and add veteran talent.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the way I'm looking at it.
And the 16th pick, like, what's that dude going to do for you?
Well, my point, you're right.
Even if he is a talent, like, he ain't finna come in here and be a dude for you.
We said that yesterday, that you're at a different point in terms of needing to win right now and get right back,
especially with
where Ja and Jaren are, than many other teams in this league who will look at that talent, same talent, level of talent 16, and say, that can mean more for us. And that is why you trade, because it's attractive to them.
Right.
They have less talent on that roster than you do. They're not in a must-win right now because of where they are in the contract situations of Ja and Jaren, guys like that, and they'll look at that 16 pick and say, yeah, we want it. Yeah, we'll take it. Here you go. And here's what we're willing to come off to do it. I think that's who you target in this, as opposed to adding, yes, a talent, but a rookie talent that, let's be real, you know, you would hope has a very low chance of helping you right now. We said that about Jalen Wells. He should have had a low chance.
Yep.
If things had been formulated correctly, Jalen Wells would have had a real tough shot breaking the rotation last year. You blew it with Marcus Smart. Vince Williams, mess after the injury. And so those were decisions that backfired on you, and that's why you had a starter. You don't want that starter out there.
Right.
We talked about it. You were about to start two rookies in the playoffs. It's not ideal.
Exactly.
It's not ideal, you know, on a team that's got to win right now.
And so then we're talking about, all right, ideally.
We just did that last year.
Ideally, you're in the playoffs.
It would have been if Jalen doesn't get hurt.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It would have been.
Yes. So, okay, so now you draft the rookie. So now you're starting because Edie's back now. So now you're talking about three of your top, because if you draft a guy at 16, you would hope he's part of your top eight, top nine. My God. So three of your top nine are going to be first-year guys or rookies? Like, you know, it feels like, Jason, they did this. They swung on the young guys, the LaRavia draft, with David Roddy, LaRavia, and Kennedy Chandler. That's when it – okay, that made sense. Because it was still so early in the trajectory. It was still so early, like, let's see if we can just hit on one of these dudes, you know, and that in 2-3 years when Ja and Jaren are entering their prime, we got the you know, the reinforcements here, the mercenaries behind them, and it'll all be – they miss on every single one. They miss on every single one of those guys. And so I just don't – to me, it's like you're kind of like a chicken running around with your head cut off if you – draft 16. Now you got to find a team that's willing to give you something But, like, you're telling me that you can't package Cole Anthony in two picks with his expiring and get something back that could be useful for you, more useful than the 16th pick? Like, and the Jace Richardson makes absolutely zero sense. Like, that's like a pick where if Jonathan Givony has some kind of intel, which, by the way, doesn't exist, that the Grizz are tearing it down. Because why would you bring in a worse version of Scottie Pippen at 16 and pay him double what you're paying Scottie Pippen? It just doesn't make any sense on any level, basketball or otherwise. So that pick I hate. I'm going to probably hate anybody they pick at 16 because you have a horizon. You have a horizon, you know, and you're trying to be competitive in the next 2 to 3 years. And, like, the 16th pick is not supposed to be ready in 2 or 3 years. Like, that's not a historically – that's not a high draft spot. Mm-hmm. It could be a good spot for somebody, for some franchise. There are lots of losers out there that have plenty of runway and time, and they got all of it, you know. The Grizzlies, if we're all agreeing that they're doubling down on the here and now with Ja and Jaren, how do you square that with adding a 16th overall pick to all of that? I just don't even know how that makes any logical sense. I don't know how you marry those two things. Now, again, maybe they won't find a deal, and they have no choice but to do it and hope that the 16th pick, you know, hits. But, like, who was the 16th pick last year? Watch it be somebody that, like, ended up being awesome. I'm just – obviously it's a small sample size, but I am just curious as to as to who it was.
I just remember, though, was Murphy 17?
Because
that was
yes.
10-17
yes.
We swapped.
Yep.
And they got him. Murphy was useful.
He was useful. He was.
A lot of times it's not the case.
16th last year. Okay, Jared McCain. He was a good player. He got hurt, you know. But, you know, you'd say he was useful. Dalton Knecht was 17, but he was out of the rotation there by the end. I mean, like, you go through this list, right? Like, Khalil Ware got killed in the playoffs. McCain was hurt. Knecht didn't play. Da Silva didn't play. Jacoby Walter didn't play. Like, none of these guys played when you start getting in out of the lottery. You know, let's just do 2023. I would say McCain is, like, fine. You know, it's not terrible. It's not great. But I think he'll be a good player, but he wasn't meaningful to a playoff team, right? 2023, Keontae George, good player. Jazz have done nothing. They're a rebuild, right? He was playing summer league last year. He was so, you know, that's. I mean, I'm just not compelled. I'm not compelled whatsoever, you know, by anybody. You know, AJ Griffin in 2022, he's retired now. Like, the odds of you hitting on somebody at 16 that will help you today, tomorrow, or ever are extremely low. They just are. So I don't know, man. I really am hopeful that they can find a partner here and bring somebody in. It's not going to be the end-all, be-all, the fix of everything, but if you can find any veteran, you know, who's averaging double figures out there that brings something, bring me defensive ability, bring me leadership, bring me just any quality at all, I will give you Cole Anthony is expiring, and I will give you two picks to take them off my hands. Yeah. I mean, that's
you use the pick to address your need for a veteran wing or a veteran big, either way, or both.
You have
needs right there.
Yeah.
You don't need to put a rook in when you can use that pick and Cole Anthony, whatever it's going to be, to go get that guy to address needs you need right now that you don't want to plug rookies
I'm
into.
I'm even saying 2026 is on the table if it's the right guy.
If it's the right one,
I mean,
I'm fine with that. And like I said, but the two picks that are in the second round, if you want to use those to fill up your two ways, that's fine. And you've added some talent, rookie talent, that will not be part of the main roster. Yeah, unless you have to make it so.
Right.
Hopefully you don't, but that's my point. You use that pick to address the veteran needs that you have, which are backup center, backup big, and a three.
Exactly.
This is very simple.
Like, I'm not in the mood to, like, sit through this. I mean, Zach Edey was the number 10 overall pick last year, right? He was number 10, and he was first team all rookie. And if it was up to Taylor Jenkins, that man was not playing. Now, that was wrong. That was probably wrong for him to do that. But, like, that's the point, is that even a guy that was first-team all-rookie, who was the favorite for Rookie of the Year after Summer League was over, even his coach, by when it got into nut-cutting time, was saying, I can't trust you. I can't trust you right now to win. And to. So what's the 16th pick going to do? again, guys get found, you know, guys get found in the late, you know, first round, second round, whatever. But like, I don't think that's where the Grizzlies' head needs to be. Like trying to find a diamond in the rough. Like how many times, you know, are you going to be able to do that? I don't think very much. So I don't know. Again, you have to find a partner, but there are so many bad teams out there that would be willing to tank for AJ DeBanza. Like, here's Cole Anthony. He will help you do that. I promise. He'll be like the dude on Moron Mountain. Shoot 30 times a game. You win 12 games on the season. You know, come get him. And he's off your books. I mean, and you can get $20.6 million back in salary. The other fear I have, Jason, is that this is all just to pay Jaren. Mm-hmm. And good for Jaren. Good, congrats. But it's like, you know, if we're going to really do this and this is all just to pay Jaren, and like the team,
yeah,
I think it's going to be underwhelming in terms of like what they'll be able to do next year because of all the issues. I mean, Ja's health, how much better is Jaren really going to get? He's great.
Right.
He's improved. But if he was just the player he was today for the rest of his career, you'd say that's great. How much better do you think the guy can get is, you know, the question. Because he's already established himself as a four-level scorer, as part of that stat that we talked about last week. Like, what's he going to do, average 40% from three? Like, I don't really think that there's a ton of runway there. He's already improved a ton since he came in the league. So I think that's the question I would ask. It's like, all right, if we're just betting on, you know, Jaren to get better, how much better do we really think he can get? So that's my other fear, Jason. It's like we're rearranging all this stuff just to give Jaren all that money.
At least it's not a Supermax.
That is true.
I had a hard time sleeping at night on that one.
That is very true.
Although he would have earned it, like we've talked about with quarterbacks in the NFL, you've been next up. But I don't, you know, now if you've come to you talk about how much of it is to pay him, you're going to have to move on, it sounds like, from John Conchar just to get that done. That's actually probably going to be a good thing, getting his money back or whatever else it is. But no, I feel a lot better after the Bane trade about your flexibility, because remember, you were already locking in with next to none. You were about ready to lock in with Jaren before the Bane trade with next to no flexibility before this thing just opened up. And so you've got, is there, you know, or do you have the most in the league? Probably not. No. But do you have a hell of a lot more than you did going into the weekend? Yes. And so for Kleiman, this is the charge, dude. It's time. We have spent the last two off seasons criticizing you for going the young route and it coming back to bite you. Now there are other things that have cost you injuries, Ja Morant not being out there, but in the end, the youth, the last two off seasons, we've said this can't happen again.
Exactly.
Can't do that. Taking a 16 pick and bringing in a guy, telling them, "Well, we're going to hope this one breaks into it." How many times can you make the same mistake?
Right.
You've got a lot here. Again, I think that's attractive now in terms of what you're able to offer. So I think you can get Jaren done, still have the flexibility to go in here and bring in guys that will make a difference and not look the mess that you were at the end of the season.
Because the point that you've made before and that I agree with is that, like, the Orlando Magic just did with Desmond Bane what we've been waiting on for the Grizzlies for, it seems like, 3 years, right? Like, we can sit here and we can debate and argue over how good we think the Magic will be with Bane, and both sides of it will be fair. Mm-hmm. I think it raises their ceiling immensely because he brings what they have not had, or, you know, Desmond Bane is not going to fix everything for the whatever. Both sides could be reasonable there. But what's undeniable is that they went for it. They said, four first-rounders, we don't give a damn. That's what we have identified that dude as something that we have to have, and we didn't know he was available, and we heard he was available, and we had to go do it. Like, the Grizzlies, that's never happened.
Because they've overvalued assets.
Exactly right.
And been fine with keeping the youth around, because, John, he could look back and tell himself, I've been the two seed 2 years, and the year I wasn't, Ja was messed up.
Yep.
So he could look at it and say, we can do this.
Yep. And that's fine once. And again, he did it with the LaRavia draft, you know, the Urati, you know, and all those guys washed out.
So we tripled down on youth. That's what he said about that year.
Exactly. And you did. And so now it's like, okay, you did that. It didn't work. Let's try something else. Let's go a different direction.
100%. I mean, you cannot, and we've said it, whether it's GG Vince, whether it's the first round picks that you haven't put in on some of those deals to not get them done. I heard it this morning, and they're right. Marcus Smart along those lines, you did push in some
chips
to get a guy that you thought was going to complete it. You missed.
You missed.
That doesn't mean you don't do it again, that you don't give it a shot again, especially when you've got so many of those overvalued assets that didn't come through for you.
Unfortunately, that cost you
two
firsts.
They didn't pay off. Dude, it cost you, I think I heard it again this morning, it's three.
Three.
Two in, well, one out or whatever
brutal.
It was. Yeah, it's brutal. And so, and part of this deal is making up, you've been able to make up some of those assets and get them back in terms of bait, but you don't keep making the same mistake. And so,
yeah.
I think we're on the same page.
DJ,
the pressure should go up, though. It doesn't drop because you've acknowledged that this big three is constructed.
Exactly.
As tight as things were, weren't going to be the thing to get you over the hump. The pressure doesn't go down just because you've traded Desmond Bain. To me, it only goes up, though. This flexibility now gives you more paths to getting it back, more paths to success.
Yep.
For me, it only increases pressure.
Yep.
So if you're gonna answer this with what you've done here with a bunch of tiddlywink moves that don't really move the needle,
yep,
bro, that's where we go back to, well, you know, yeah, your draft record was great, but in those other areas, particularly the trade areas, whatever else, where it's come to, you know, putting this team over, getting the exact piece it needed, the final piece, Hardenstein's after OKC, they were willing to pay more because he fit exactly what they needed. That's when it's you're looking at him squarely and you're saying, can you get this done?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what Robert Parra has to be doing at that point. You've already given him clearly the vote of confidence this year. This is coming off two straight years of getting younger, again, unintentionally, intentionally. You don't get it done. There's a debacle of a collapse going from 2-7 to swept.
Yep.
You've backed him up. You've allowed him to keep the job. Hey, if we're talking about marginal moves that don't move the needle, you're still at the bottom of the West, bro.
Yep.
Then Kleiman is not your guy.
Well, because you like if this is what it is, you're worse. Like you're a worse team in 25-26 than you were before.
Yeah,
I mean, like again,
like, to what Bobby was saying.
Like, yeah, like I mean, so yeah, because Desmond Bane was a 40% shooter from three. I mean that like was he a perfect player? No, but he was 26 and he was a 40% shooter from three. Okay, fine. Like I can work with KCP as the two, you know. I can work with that if he's got a wing out there that's capable, you know, an upgrade over a rookie Jalen Wells. So where's that? I mean, and it ain't coming at 16 either. It ain't coming at 16. So I don't know. Like it would be mystifying to me if this is where this goes and they end up using that pick. Like I would be mystified by it, and I would be out on it. I would then be out on it. I would say the Grizzlies made a mistake because the picks that they are going to have from 28 and 30, you know, from the Magic will not be good picks. They will not be valuable. I mean, they'll be worse than this one. They'll be worse than 16. If we're just projecting it out, Paolo ain't going anywhere, you know. They're going to be worse, most likely, so or just as bad. It ain't like you're getting a top 10 pick out of that, sort of something disastrous. So you get one decent pick out of it. It might be like eighth next year, you know, whatever it is. I know it's convoluted. It could be something along those lines. So I don't know. It would just change my view of it if they don't package these all together and do something with it and say, oh, Cole Anthony is going to be our seventh man. Like, I guess you could do something at the deadline too, but I don't know. It feels like in a summer where there's so much movement, you know, KD's going to go somewhere. What's going to happen with Giannis? Like, get in on that, man. Like, get in on that and take advantage of the chaos. Don't just sit back and say, you know, our team is on the floor. I would not enjoy that. I would not enjoy that. I would rather have just run it back if it's going to be this. We'll see. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But with a week to the draft, a little bit over a week to the draft, still feels like a lot of work to do for the Grizzlies front office.
I was actually watching this yesterday. It was pretty phenomenal to watch, and I'm not a guy other than, Cubs every now and then that's going to sit there and watch a ton of baseball, and particularly college baseball. But Gage Wood, this Arkansas pitcher yesterday, I turned it on. I didn't turn it off. He struck out a record 19 batters. He was in a zone. It reminded me of Kerry Wood back in the day. I think it was the Pittsburgh Pirates. Maybe it was 20 strikeouts, but that's how in command this guy was. He'd get down. In some cases, I want to tell you, he got down 3-0 maybe and came back, struck the guy out, ends up throwing a perfect game to eliminate Murray State. And so we've got, you know, Arkansas now having moved on there. I think Murray State finishes 0-2, obviously historic first trip to Omaha for them. Arkansas is going to play another elimination game It's scheduled for Tuesday night against the winner of Monday night's LSU-UCLA game, which I believe is still going on right now. So when they get this next Arkansas game in, we'll figure out the time. But that UCLA-LSU game, I'm looking at right now, LSU's, it's bottom of the eighth, 8-5. Is this possible that game did not conclude last night and still going on? Looks like it's live right now. They'll play the winner of that game. That's what we knew from the game store. So we got plenty of Razorbacks who are excited here possibly about a baseball title. But last night, in terms of pitching performances, this dude was electric. At one point had the perfect game going, but ends up with a no-hitter, struck out a record 19. Never let Murray State even believe it was going to come close to victory last night.
Yeah, the run is over, sadly.
It's only the fourth number four regional seed since 1999 to reach Omaha. Murray State. Want to give the Racers, who I had the jogging suit on in tribute to the other day, want to give them their proper due, their proper flowers.
The basketball program took a private jet to Omaha to support them. They're moving a little different now in Murray.
I bet.
I mean, that wasn't a recruiting trip. That was just we're going to see the baseball team. So that's Brad's pick still alive. UTSA out, Murray State out, only Arkansas survives.
Yeah.
The favorite.
Call the Hogs.
I don't think they're the favorite anymore, if I had to guess.
LSU.
LSU, yeah.
We're looking at it. Yeah, they're up 9-5 now.
That game is still going. It's 9. Yeah. They just added another run.
They're in the eighth.
Yeah.
So it started yesterday.
Yeah, and it's weird because there's nobody in the stands for these games after the weekend.
Noon,
you know,
it's noon on a
Tuesday.
That's
what I mean. Like Omaha loaded in the weekend, and then it's like it's gone.
Oh. But they're still gonna make they're still gonna make that team play Arkansas tonight.
So they have a loser's bracket and a winner's bracket. So they have Arkansas to win their way back through, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So the winner of the loser's bracket gets back in the winner's bracket?
They get back up to get a chance, and then it's single elimination for them, double for the winner's bracket.
Right.
But Arkansas is the three seed.
They are the three seed.
LSU's a lower seed, but still favored.
That is correct because LSU hasn't lost yet.
Right.
That's why.
Arkansas lost, and they're coming out of the loser's bracket.
Yeah.
Correct.
And would still be the underdog because they've lost one.
Right.
Even though they're the higher.
Given the loss.
LSU is so hot right now, I guess. You know?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. I don't remember who they were playing over the weekend. They were playing Arkansas, right? That's who it was?
That was their first game.
And,
Really beat the hell out of Arkansas in that first game. I know the score didn't look at it, but it was not Arkansas's best performance there.
Yeah. So it's any other SEC teams in it? LSU, Arkansas?
Just those two. Yeah.
Tennessee's out. Ole Miss out.
Oregon State, Louisville.
Which is bizarre because the SEC had a great season this year. You know, you got Coastal Carolina who's been on a tear.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Oregon State, hot, man, hot bats.
Except for Vandy and Texas getting dispatched beforehand, the one and the two.
Yep.
The SEC, you're right, was good. Not as good as usual.
Did y'all follow this? I just caught up with it yesterday afternoon listening to y'all. This Rocco's Challenge now got out of hand, I guess. They had to close the bar, I guess, late. It got a little dicey, and they called in the cops.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I'm gonna blame LSU and Arkansas for that without knowing the facts. All right? I think you get those are. I think that's a safe bet.
LSU. I would probably say it was the LSU who is in the lead. By the way,
look, I'm not going Arkansas fans. You know, I mean, they call the Hawks now.
Yeah, they're a little crazy.
Both fan bases feel like when they start drinking, they can get out of control.
Get a little dicey.
All right, we know that about LSU, and I definitely feel that about Arkansas.
And nobody's close to LSU in the Rocco challenge. Jason was the one who turned me on to this whole shot challenge.
They had to undo it?
I guess that it was
late.
It's
back on. It's back
on. No, they're all good now. And everybody's they're back on the rails. But I guess over the weekend, some over-serving happened. You know, LSU is clearly in the lead, and I'm sure that it went a little too far for charity.
So 18,039. Jello shots. Okay. The next closest is Arkansas.
Of course.
With, Murray State.
Murray and, the old Racers are getting happy.
Damn, Ernie. 7,421.
Right.
They're second. And then Arkansas is third.
They'll have time to catch up.
With 6,801.
Man.
So that's $5 a shot. You can do the math there.
Oof.
And they say they're
saying it's going to charity. Yeah, it's going to the local children's. I think it's children's hospitals of the local teams is how they're dispatching this.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot, though.
It's first no hitter there in Omaha since 1960.
Jeez,
60?
Historic.
Yeah, that's especially impressive.
It's kind of when maybe they could push them back through Bradley Lyman. I guess their back's against the wall now, but I don't know. They looked like they were believing yesterday. They could propel them back through. If they get LSU, beat them tonight, then they're right back there. And you both got one loss, and it's all for the – you're both right back there even, right?
Yeah,
to beat LSU tonight.
I've been schooled on this is people tell me it's because of the unlimited arms that these SEC teams have. Like, there's just – they just – if they the right-hander's not on, they pull another one out and throw him out there. I mean, they're just – they have pitcher after pitcher.
The question is
going to
be who they got for LSU the second time around if you just threw Gage. That's going to be the
question. That's the problem. Yeah, who do you have that's better than that?
Yes. I was watching I tuned in because I just saw that it was the that's why this no-hitter is so impressive. The number one prospect for Florida State.
Yeah.
Like I can't remember the guy's name, but he's a lefty and everybody's saying he's the number one prospect in the draft and he got beat up.
Like happens.
He got beat up. You know, I'm like, this is the best pitcher in the baseball.
Hey, ultimate failure sport. Look at Ohtani last night. They pull his ass out there to pitch, and it's like, whoa, this is not the same dude.
That was his first start in a couple years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So he clearly has moved on from the pitching thing.
I think he's over it. He just let me hit.
But he's still up there around 100, though.
He can fan that thing.
Yeah, he can throw.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's a failure sport. You're going to have those days, you know, John?
No, I don't want to. Every day I want to come in, I want to have a success day.
I know.
What do you call it, a failure sport?
It is a failure sport. It's hard being the parent in these that game
in like
particular.
It sounds like that is a thing that you heard, like a failure sport.
You hear
sport.
It all the time because you're going to have a kid or a young man or a adult player, and they go out there, and you have the worst game ever. And then 2 games later, you have the best player. I think basketball tends, if you're healthy, you're more consistent, right?
Yeah.
It's a more consistent experience for the player.
Right.
Am I off, Jason? I don't know. Maybe.
I was looking at the – he had 98, he had 99, and close to 102. So the velocity was there, and he had 2 strikes on every batter, but it wasn't as sharp as – this was a good
– he'll get there, right?
First time back out there, though, with that kind of velocity after what he had.
Yeah.
I was pissed because I couldn't see the game. This is the problem, Major. Like, I was so excited to turn it on. Everybody's talking about this game. Jake's telling me about it. We turn on the TV. I need the Super Box, Jason.
You had your chance.
I know.
You've had many a chance.
I'm getting back in the. I might actually go get that thing. I'm not even kidding. I'll put it upstairs because you can only put it on one TV.
I think they're available on Amazon, Brad.
How much?
I have no idea.
Well, you have options. You're going to have options.
I might get one.
You know, you have.
I'm going to have to get one.
I'm sure you can look it up.
Yeah, I'll do that. All right.
Obviously, we talked about Game 5. The Indiana Pacers go down to the Thunder 3-2. First time, amazingly, in the playoffs that they have trailed. And this has been a marathon, man, going back to the beginning of May. Never trailed. Didn't trail 1-0, didn't trail 2-1, didn't trail 3-1, didn't trail nothing. They led the entire stretch of the way since the postseason started. So last night was definitely a punch in the mouth, and they are bleeding. They are bleeding. And Tyrese Haliburton says, if he can walk, he's going to play. You heard that on the finals broadcast last night. Richard Jefferson kept talking about that. You know, he re-aggravated it at one point there in the first, second quarter. And I think they're calling it like calf tightness. And they were like, all right, well, if it starts as calf tightness, then it goes to calf strain. You know, that's the evolution of that injury itself. But look, they're going back home. And it's the first time they've lost 2 games in a row since, what, March, Jason? It's been a long time since the Pacers have done that. Now the goal is obviously to avoid losing 3 in a row. Because if you lose that 3rd in a row, that means that the series is over. And the Thunder will close this thing out in 6 games. Thunder are favored. They're -5 in Game 5. Open 4.5, got bet to 5. I think some of that is probably due to Haliburton. Rick Carlisle said it was clear that he is not 100%, but did not expect him to miss any games. I mean, he told us, what was it, before Game 3? I think it was before Game 3 that he was dealing with a little something. He called it like a little something. That's when your antenna go up right there, like, there's something. There's something, a little weird. So now that, you're talking about 3 games after that, the mileage is adding up. The Pacers play that tempo, that style. And you know what? Truthfully, man, they have dodged and avoided injury luck the entire postseason. You know, that's been a big part of their run here. Cleveland in that Cleveland series, Garland missed a couple games. Donovan Mitchell wasn't right. You know, you had a couple
Mobley
other.
Mobley was out.
Yeah,
was,
yeah,
was
yeah,
it was, yeah. No, it was, Mobley was out.
No, it was Mobley. Yeah. It, yeah. So three of their top five had injuries. Didn't I want to say like somebody? Carl Towns had the finger or something. Like he was dealing with something. So they've really, you know, done a good job of avoiding bad injury luck, but it seems like it's catching up to them now. And Carlisle even went as far as to say is there's a lot of guys in this series that aren't 100%. You know, and I assume the same is probably true with the Thunder, but they're feeling like Superman right now because they're up 3-2 in the series. They can close it out.
There are some coaches that would say that, and I probably wouldn't want to give them the benefit of the doubt, would say, okay, you're just making an excuse. I don't think Carlisle is in this case. I mean, I think it's real. I do think they're Halliburton's had a problem with being aggressive consistently, but six total drives last night in Game 5, according to tracking by Genius IQ, it's the fewest in a game this postseason. It's tied for the second fewest in a playoff game in his career. Mm. So he can't. It's not just a matter of, you know, well, because we've seen him. We've seen him at times be aggressive against this OKC defense, find the holes. It's not just how tight their defense was. He was ineffective, and that's why a lot of folks were questioning, again, why Carlisle didn't just stick with McConnell. Like John said, there was a turnover there, clearly frustrated him, but all of your starters were turning the ball over last night. You had 22 of them. McConnell was the one guy that was giving you some offensive push, that was putting pressure on that OKC defense, and so why not stick with him? Again, if you decide this,
yep,
that's the point. If you're going to go with a broken Halliburton and say, well, I'm going to play, you know,
mm-hmm,
rain, snow, sleet, whatever else, and just be out there, again, you could be limiting the chance that you have to actually win this game. McConnell has been effective at times,
yep,
against this OKC defense.
Yep.
I'm not telling you he's some savior, but I'd rather have him out there with the ability to put pressure on them than a Halliburton who can't be aggressive at all. And we're seeing, frankly, the least aggressive Halliburton we've ever seen.
They were giving him space.
So that's what I'm saying.
They knew he was compromised.
He is. So that's what I'm saying. It's not an excuse. It's real. It's unfortunate for Carlisle because, I mean, he's obviously done a great job this postseason in terms of adjustments, counters, everything else. A championship level coaching job, they just do not have enough. They don't have
an
MVP.
That's right.
Like we talked about yesterday. And then,
MVPs.
Now maybe two MVPs after that performance last night. A guy in the future who could possibly win one in Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, Scottie Pippen was never really, I guess, up for that. You know, Scottie ended up being a great player with Mike.
He could be the best player on somebody's team.
I guess he could, if he had left Mike at some point, like the OKC Big Three was broken up, maybe he does do that early in his career.
Right.
I mean, the Portland Scottie and the Houston Scottie.
No, but that 1 year without Jordan, he was awesome, wasn't he?
He was awesome. He was a little bit of a little soft. He was mad that we gave a shot to Kukoc, pulled himself out of game.
Okay, that's right.
Did some little soft stuff like that. But he was great.
The numbers
don't get me wrong.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder. Yeah.
What year?
It's a good call. That would have been 90, 1, 2, 3, 94,
right,
95,
let's
somewhere
look
in where he might have been in MVP.
I mean, I think we'll probably be able to tell based on
the highest Scottie ever gotten would have been that year.
Yeah.
Would have had to been.
So, 94.
I think we won 50-something games.
94, let's see, he averaged, 93, 94, he averaged 22 a game and 9 rebounds.
It's not going to get you MVP, though.
No.
But I bet you
but,
he
you
was,
know, for that time,
I bet,
22
I bet you he was probably
a lot.
Top 10 in MVP
yeah,
voting.
Yeah, I mean. What teams average 80 a game? I mean, he's, you know, with 25% of the scoring.
That was the 94-95.
93-94. 94-95, he was 21.4, 8 rebounds. But when did Jordan come back?
90, he was out, what, 2? He was out 2.
Oh,
so
okay, so there were
we
two
won 91-92,
okay,
93.
Okay. So there were 2 seasons without Jordan.
Yeah.
Okay, so he averaged
93-94,
we'll
out.
Call it 22-8.
And 94-95, he's out.
Yeah, 22-8.5 on, you know, 49% shooting from the field. I mean, that's pretty damn good for that era.
I got third.
He was third in the league in scoring.
If that's, I'm looking at third in that MVP voting that year.
Okay, so there you go.
If I'm on Basketball Reference, so I think I'm looking at this correctly. It was Hakeem, David, and Scottie Pippen got 7 first place votes, but he was third.
Yeah. It I mean, so
like
there you go.
In points won.
So I like I.
So that year being the guy with Mike gone, yes, it was still good enough. Even
so Scottie Pippen was 8th in scoring that year. He was 22 points a game.
Jalen Wells could do it.
Yeah, I mean.
But he's going to have to leave.
Right.
And they're not, you know, they're not certainly not going to allow that to happen anytime
any
soon.
Any stab.
Or would he want to?
Any stab at the scoring leader, 93-94?
Something weird like
it's
red.
It's 30 points a game.
Was it? It's something weird like red.
David Robinson.
No, I should get David.
I didn't realize he was like that.
But well, because I'm looking at he's second in MVP voting that season, so I should have.
Shaq was 29.3. Hakeem Olajuwon was 27.3. Dominique was 26.
Carl's got to be up there somewhere, right?
Carl, who he canceled, was 25. Okay. So yeah, how about that? How about Scotty being there? So yeah, I mean, I think
Scotty was 22 that season.
Mm-hmm. And then let's.
He carried us. Let's say we fit 150 some games.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that 21.2 was 22 was eighth. Would it even be 18th in today's NBA? Probably not. It's just crazy. Let's see. Scotty in the next year was still 12th. You know, I mean, so without Jordan, he was basically, if you average the two seasons, top 10 in scoring. You know, so I think absolutely, you know.
And he fell to seventh that year in MVP voting.
Right, right. But yeah, Jalen Williams could do that. I certainly believe that. I mean, that's the thing about this Thunder team is that they've just grown up in warp speed. I mean, they're the one seed last year, get put out unceremoniously in the second round by the Mavs, and then they come back and just win the damn title. Like, there's no, all right, we lose in the Western Conference Finals this year. There's no, like, they just like, all right, we learned, boom, we're here. And, I mean, then granted, they made the moves, right? They go out, they trade for Caruso, they sign Isaiah Hartenstein, who, you know, is big for them. He's their best screener. He frees Shai Gilgeous-Alexander up. And then Caruso wasn't good last night, but we know he has been fantastic, you know, throughout this series. But they didn't waste any time, man. They said, all right, we got our scar. We're coming for it. And still got to win one more. They're huge favorites to do that, obviously, whether it's, you know, on Thursday or on Sunday. But they're going to be a problem that has to be dealt with. And I don't know how you do it because, I mean, Shai is just not going anywhere. And that core is under contract. It's a real issue. You know, I mean, we started the show by calling them the next Golden State in San Antonio. Why wouldn't they be that? Like, what would keep them from being, you know, a three-title team? They're the favorite. They're plus 220 next year already. That's it. Plus 220 to win the title. Not plus 800, not plus 220. It's insane. And it's not even wrong. I mean, it's correct. It's like they should be. They should
be. What would the line, if this was a healthy Boston they were taking on?
You mean like pre-series?
Yeah, how much different would the outlook be just in terms
like last year Celtics, for example? I mean, basically, right?
Just who's favored? And how much, you know.
If OKC had home court, I would probably say, like, you know.
They would have had home court, right? They had the best
record. Yeah, I would have said they probably would have been, like, minus 210, you know. Because I think you probably price in the experience edge for the Celtics. They'll be giving up some talent, but, like, the experience edge you would give. Because they just won the title, right? Like, mm-hmm. But the home court advantage is so, especially for OKC. Like, them folks do not lose two in OKC. They'll lose one. They will not lose two. And that's a problem for Indiana now. It's like they just.
You're going to have to hand them a third home loss this postseason. They're 10-2. They're not losing twice in this series.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, again, full credit to this Indiana team. On paper, no business being here. Mm-hmm. On paper, no business leading in this series. You know, like, what do we talk about? Aaron Nesmith? Andrew Nimhard?
You didn't really have an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
Not a real one.
I mean, it's they're 100% like the definition of being better than the sum of their parts. And honestly, like,
and that's what that Pistons team was that beat the Lakers.
Yeah,
with Chauncey and
absolutely.
Those guys.
And they had, you know, they rode that toughness.
Mm-hmm.
They said we're tougher than you. Mm-hmm. Indiana said we're gonna outrun you and we're gonna outshoot you. And unfortunately, now one of their best players is compromised. So they're in a situation that they're in. But game six is Thursday. Right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason Fitz will join us at 125. We'll talk NBA playoffs with him, get his thoughts on the Grizzlies moves, college sports, and more. Stick around. Jason and John.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Turn FM, ESPN. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency. If you are thinking about selling your home and you want to make the most money for it, I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't. It's never been more important to make sure you got the right team around you that can help you do that. Jennifer Carson, her team, they've seen every situation, good, bad, ugly, but it's all the same. They get results. They help you make the most money for your home. So if you want a team that's attentive to your needs and can actually deliver, reach out, SoldoLiveLoveMemphis.com.
901-625-5200 is the number. Lock it in. And I promise you, whether it's now, whether it's later, it can help. That's Jennifer Carson's number. And once you're on the phone with her, you're going to find things, the difficult just melts away. What you don't know just melts away because she answers all the questions. Does it make you feel dumb in doing so? No, that was certainly the case for me. I didn't know a darn thing, but Jennifer schooled me on all of it. Brought me up to speed and then said, we're going to get more for your home than you think we are. And she did. She did that back in 2018. She's doing it now with Reg in this market. She's selling homes. She's buying homes, whatever you needed to do. She's got the most successful team in Memphis. Let her show you why. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right, so first hour of the show, Stephen A. Smith on Get Up made mention of players not wanting to come to Memphis because of crime, that he had talked to law enforcement, local enforcement in Memphis, and that it was a deterrent for players when it comes to.
Oh, I thought he talked to players. Hold on.
He said he talked to both. He said he talked to local.
I need to hear the whole thing again.
Do we have it over there, Brad? I
don't remember him talking to authority.
That man said, I've talked to local.
I thought he said, I'm talking to you now.
So you want me to do it? For a player like me, I just don't think that the league, like, for guys like me, I love to be in Memphis. I embrace it, but you got to identify those guys, right? And it's not that simple, especially a younger guy to identify that but wants to be in Memphis.
I want to hear you say, why you think?
The people in Memphis is a great sports town, great fans, great people. Yeah. But there's an element there where cats like Jimmy Butler and others don't feel it's the safest environment. I'm talking to the local authorities in Memphis. You got to clean some of that stuff up.
I got you.
NBA players.
I see now. He was directing that.
He's saying Memphis police, you got a problem.
I thought it's keeping NBA
players from coming to your town,
right?
Which is and we said Jimmy probably said something to him along the lines, whether in jest or not,
right?
When it came down to Memphis being singled out as the place Jimmy didn't want to go before being traded, you know, that's it. Again, if you're going to have any journalistic integrity whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
and say you talk to players,
mm-hmm.
and drop his name as the one of the players that he better have said it,
right?
Otherwise, you go back at Stephen A. right now and you question everything about
right
whatever integrity he's got left.
Yep.
And we do that with all of us. I mean, and ask each other that. I'm sure mine might be lower than his at
right.
this point in my career. It's not the point. Point is, he brought that name up, he
yep.
attributed it to Jimmy,
yep.
and he said, local law enforcement, I'm talking to you, clean this up, you have a problem, the NBA players don't want to come to your city. He just had one of the Morris dudes saying, I'll come.
Yeah, I love that.
Now, let's bring him in right now.
Let's sign him.
Just saying, you can't say it's the view of the whole league when you've just talked, when one dude has told you that.
Literally the dude you're doing the segment with said, I'd love to go to Memphis.
But that's the thing. I don't think it's necessarily a type of guy. I mean, Morris seemed to be coming across as that. It's situation. It's what you've got. It's mm-hmm. sure we know that the superstars, likely the KDs and all those guys. Maybe not with some of them. But to say this is the whole league, and that because Memphis has one of the biggest crime problems in the nation mm-hmm. is the reason you can't get guys in free agency as the sole reason. It's ridiculous.
That's
sensationalizing.
Right. That's right. Because you know what you'd never hear this in? You'd never hear this in the NFL. Like, you would never hear the NFL have a discussion like this. You would literally never hear somebody say, oh, that player won't go to Detroit because they have a murder problem. Like, it's only with the NBA's weird fixation with market size that he would even bring this up. Like, New York City's got a crime problem, bro. Of course it does. It's a huge city. But you're not going to hear him say Jalen Brunson don't want to go to New York because of a crime problem. I mean, per capita, we might be worse, but who gives a damn? Crime is crime. It's going to be there in a big city. You know, I don't know how, San Francisco. Do I hear NFL media talking about, well, man, Brock Purdy don't want to go to, he don't want to re-sign with San Francisco because there's homeless people on the street. it's just only in the NBA media do we do this. I think it's the weirdest thing in the world.
Yeah, St. Louis has a major crime problem. They're right there with us.
Well, they took your team because of that.
But like, you never hear a Cardinal baseball fan go, well, they're not signing right. with the Cardinals because right. of the crime problem, to your point about the NBA.
That's why it was so disappointing. And look, Stephen A. knows what he's doing, man. And Jimmy Butler clearly told him that. You know, like, Stephen A. Smith didn't just pull that out of thin air. He's heard that from somebody. Yeah. I think that's just a part of it that's just so disappointing, is that you could make it about a million things before you got to that.
Again, I can't find the exact year it was now, but I know we had him on. I would factor in, guys, and it's not being factored in. Again, this is the face of ESPN in many ways, who has previously said there shouldn't be an NBA team here.
Right.
You know, who's previously said they're backwards, they got Elvis all over the place,
yep.
move them out of there. And that's the thing, you'll bring him on, he'll say kind words about you as a sports fan or whatever else. Stephen A. just doesn't care for the NBA being in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure when he's talking to Jimmy Butler, man, why? How come you don't want to go down to Memphis? He's got just as much hate for it.
Yep.
And an agenda that Jimmy might have in terms, and they probably joked about it or whatever else. That's what I'm saying. It could have been said just in jest,
mm-hmm.
but he can then use that as the view for this city, this small market that frankly shouldn't be a part of our NBA. They're just a crime-ridden place that shouldn't even have NBA players. You got a dude right there on his segment saying, I'll go. He doesn't want to hear it.
Yep.
Because why? Because he has an agenda against the NBA in Memphis, and you have to factor this in.
Yep.
But when you call him on it, when you have him come on, he's just going to go soft on you, tell you how exactly great you guys are as sports fans, great basketball team, love the Tigers, love Penny Hardaway, going to give you all that junk,
yep,
right, and fluff you back up to where then you're not as offended. He's softened it up. But when he gets out in front of his NBA folk, his NBA world, he will say this about Memphis every single time, that it shouldn't be here.
Yeah, he will not stand on that business when confronted by somebody else. That's Doc Holliday's on his ass. I don't expect him to respond to that.
Remember, this was once a town that, I guess, in the height of the grid and grind era, we were, what was it, ESPN the magazine? They were calling it the best atmosphere franchise, the best franchise overall in the NBA. And so how could you literally make that case that it shouldn't be here?
Man, that's
we're a great basketball town. We've proven.
You know, Trista did that last week too, and I texted her on. I'm like, what is the fascination with Nashville getting an NBA team? Like, do y'all realize? Like, she didn't realize that Tennessee couldn't have two NBA teams. Like, I was like, it's never gonna, like, you can't. If Nashville got an NBA team, it would be the Grizzlies, right? Like, and I don't believe that's on the table.
It's one of the two smallest markets in the league, and you're gonna put one 200 miles away from it. No,
exactly.
To your point, yes.
Exactly. You're not. Yeah. You know, that would be a non-starter. Totally.
Them and us in New Orleans.
Yes. so I don't know, man. It was just disappointing. Like I would have rather him just said what we talked about. Like, guys don't trust the Ja. They don't like make it about the actual on court, bro. Which is fair. If you want to say, I don't want to go to the Grizzlies because I don't trust that Ja is going to be available, that I don't believe that they have enough. Bro, that is so defensible. I'll hear that all day. It's like when you start making it about the let's keep the main thing the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is still a franchise that will pay your ass $50 million. Like, the money still spends. It's still green in Memphis. Like, somebody might come at you for it, but it's still green and it still spends. So that's the part of it that I just always push back on. It's like, let's just keep it about what it's really about with Memphis. If there's skepticism about the direction, if there's skepticism about the star, okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.